Thank you, Adrian and Mayu. Have you ever been to Athens? It's an old, beautiful city. The ruins of the ancient Parthenon are situated on a towering hill right in the middle of the 21st century Athens. Each evening, floodlights illumine the top of the hill and the familiar columns of the Parthenon, and it is an amazing sight. At night, with all the city dark except for the lighted hill with its ancient ruins, you can imagine being alive back in the first century when the Apostle Paul walked the streets of Athens and tried to tell the people about Christianity and the concept of God. Now, you know the Athenians were intellectuals. They worshipped reason and philosophy, and they were proud of their many poet philosophers. Now, Paul was a very educated man, and so in seeking to convince the Athenians of the logic and the effectiveness of Christianity, he cunningly appealed to their senses of patriotism. He quoted one of their poets, Epimenides, by saying, "In him we live and have our being." As some of the poets you have said, "For we are all indeed his offspring." What does "in him we live and move and have our being" mean? A fish lives and moves and has its being in the sea. Could we say that we live and have our being in God in the same way? Those who accept religious concepts on pure faith might readily say, yes, it is the same way that we live and move and have our being in God. However, those who are honest skeptics, who are open-minded, but still demand a little logic to back up their faith, might very well say, I don't see it. I live and move and I have my being in a physical world of chairs and tables and houses and earth and air. Where is God if I live and move in God? Well, I want you to take a look around this sanctuary. And when you're driving in your car, I want you to look at the road and the cars around you, and the trees and the flowers and the buildings. They look very solid. They look very real. And they look very substantial. But you are not seeing the whole picture because your eyes are so designed that you can only see a limited range. We know that roads and cars and trees are not solid. Scientists will tell you that what you see as you look around the sanctuary or out your car window are huge masses of atoms. And they would further explain to you that even the atom is not solid. It is a negative charge of electricity or an electron revolving around a positive charge of electricity or an electron revolving around a nucleus, much in the same way that the Earth revolves around the Sun. All things, they would add, are basically made up of these whirling electrical charges of energy. One more important point they would make: even the air between you and the wall, or whatever you are looking at, is not empty. It is made up of atoms or whirling charges of energy. Just as a fish lives and moves and has its being in the sea, so do you and I live and move and have our being in a virtual sea of living energy, the body of God. Now let's go one step further. Our scientists invite you to look at the physical body. That too, they say, is composed of atoms, miniature whirling universes made up of charges of energy. Yes, even your body is a garment of energy. And truly, in God we live and move and have our being. What we see is that applied science and divine science work hand in hand. Scientists say that we live and move and have our being in a sea of pure energy. Divine science says that this sea of energy is spirit, is God, or as Jesus called it, the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. How much more at hand can it be than the living energy which is the basis or substance of all that is? So now let us get into the practical application of this statement. The way to the kingdom of God is at hand is through your mind. This is why Jesus also located the kingdom of God within you. In other words, although you live in a sea of God energy, it is unable to reach you, or you are unable to reach it until you open your mind to it, which means acknowledge, accept, become receptive to, and give thanks for. Prayer is a word given to the mental activity of contacting this very real kingdom of God, which is at hand, and bursting with energy and all possibility and all potentiality. A particular type of prayer that has proved so very effective is called affirmative prayer. Affirmative prayer is taking a statement of truth about the nature of God and meditating on it, repeating it, and making it an inner agreement with it until you come to realize the truth of it in your mind and in your heart. For instance, to contact the sea of God energy in which you live and move and have your being, you get quiet and you get relaxed. You go within, which simply means that you take your attention away from the outer world of things and sensations and affirm, "In God I live and move and have my being. I am open and I am receptive to the inflow of the radiant power of the kingdom of God, and I am grateful." In this way, you develop your innate ability to contact the source of life and power and love and wisdom. Even though your body is immersed in the sea of God energy, of God life, there is no inflow of energy into your body unless the mind, the center of self-awareness, the I am, opened the door. Now this reminds me in a little bit of my car battery. I had a full charge and power in my battery when my car was new. But before cold weather, when I know that the car's electrical system will be called on for hard work, it's customary to have the battery checked and recharged if it is low on power or energy. In this same way, you can recharge your body with the God energy in which you live and move and have your being. And you do this through your quiet moments of prayer, where you realize and affirm your oneness with the source, the fountainhead of life, God, our Father. When a drop of water is separated from the ocean, it becomes powerless. It is just a weak little drop of water, and it immediately begins to evaporate. In fact, the saying, "just a drop in the bucket," means an effect so small, so weak, and so inconsequential that it is as good as nothing. However, if that drop of water is returned to the ocean, it is permeated with the quality and the nature of the whole ocean. It partakes of the ocean's strength and the ocean's power. And so when you separate yourself from God in your thinking, this is when you forget that you are one with God. When you hurry and scurry around trying to handle this complicated and complex thing that we call life with your limited intellect, when you feel that you are too busy to pray, or when you scoff at the idea of spiritual reality behind and within the physical face of the universe, then you, in effect, are just a drop in the bucket. You are weak, you are powerless, and you are vulnerable. You are like a drop of water that was separated from the ocean. You have only the energy within yourself to draw upon when you are separated from your source. And this is soon depleted, just as the limited energy of the drop of water is evaporated. In affirmative prayer, you plunge into the ocean of God. You become consciously one with Him and are filled with the power and vitality and the strength that is the very nature of God. A drop of water is of the same quality, but not the same quantity as the ocean. And even so, you as an individualized expression of God are the same quality, but not the same quantity as God. In short, you are not all of God, but God is all of you. 21 centuries have passed since Paul stood in the marketplace in ancient Athens and quoted one of the Athenians' own poets. It is only now, over 2,000 years later, that many of us are gathering the courage to throw off the label miserable sinner, worm in the dust, that has shackled us to a life of guilt and fear and misery. You hear and you read a great deal these days about the power of the mind, the power of negative thinking to bring about destructive conditions. If this is so, look at what we have long been doing to ourselves for centuries because we thought of ourselves as miserable, as guilty, and unworthy. If you continue to tell a child that he or she is bad, how can you expect that child to turn out to be anything but delinquent, violent, aggressive, and selfish? We also know the power of positive thinking, and today we hear again the persuasive voice of Paul ringing through the centuries of spiritual darkness, proclaiming that in Him we live and move and have our being, for we are indeed His offspring. Keep telling yourself the truth about yourself, that you are an offspring of God, living and moving and having your being in Him, and you will bring forth the God qualities of strength, faith, love, good judgment, order, understanding, and life that are inherent in your nature as a child and an offspring of God. Affirm often and with conviction. In God I live and move and have my being. I am open and receptive to the inflow of the radiant power of the everywhere present Spirit of God. And I am grateful. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? I'd like you to take a moment, please, to get comfortable in your chair. And rest your feet on the floor and place your hands comfortably in your lap or at your side and assume a position that will not call your attention to itself. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly. And release all that you've been holding in, and be still and quiet your mind. Let go of all that is outside this holy place. Let's not harbor any worrisome thoughts. Let's not harbor any anger or resentment, and no jealousy. And let us just be still and quiet, and relax. And go within to the center of our being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with His open arms, His unconditional love, and His peace. The Father and I are one, not two, not three, not four. The Father and I are one. I of my own self can do nothing. For it is the Father within that doeth the work. It is the Father within that sets my feet on the path and leads me through the stormy seas of life. It is the Father within that carries me through the ups and the downs of life and provides me with support and comfort. It is the Father within that knows my every need before I ask and sends His blessings in abundance at the right time and the right place. It is the Father within that goes before me, making every crooked place straight and every rough place smooth. It is the Father within that protects and guides as I navigate my way back to his kingdom. Without the Father within, the creative activity and everything that manifests in the outer, there would be nothing. As Paul said, in him I live and move and have my being. The one life comes forth as all life, your life and my life. Let us go forth and recognize this truth and affirm it for ourselves and for all the world around us. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you himself, his infinite, unconditional, and everlasting love, and every blessing. Amen.